And you're gonna find that out. I don't need to convince you. You'll know well after you hear a morning with Chris. And Janelle, do you want to offer add anything?
Well, the favorite person remark, you might have to ask the players to play for him. After practice, it might not quite be the favorite coach.
Chris coached the, I think it was the first state championship baseball team. And I was at the championship game, and I really admired his way with the kids. So, Chris, let me pray as we start. Lord, I just thank you that Chris was free to come as we send him and Janelle today for their summer adventures with Upward Adventures in Alaska. And we look forward to hearing about their ministry and about the heart that I know Chris has for young people. And may it be an inspiration to us as we hear that heart and see these pictures and hear from God's word as Chris leads us through that later. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Chris, you got it.
Well, thank you. Do I really need the mic? Like, does that just help with the recording maybe? Or
yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Far away.
All right. Can you hear that any better? All right. I'll tell you the truth later on, really, about how much people like or dislike me and all that, but I'll save that for later. Now, actually, I've had the opportunity for years. I was stationed in Alaska back from 1990 to 93, and I was in the Coast Guard about 70 pounds ago. And while we were up there, it was actually a retired Air Force couple that led me to Christ when I was there. And so I was searching for a while. I grew up in a Lutheran church, and it didn't really mean anything to me at the time. But ironically, once I was in the service, I was searching, and this retired Air Force couple, the weekend after I got there, kind of latched on and became friends. And so they kind of welcomed me to Alaska, and over the next 2 years had walked me through accepting Christ for myself. And so Alaska's always been a very special place to me. In 2006, I coached college basketball, and we had the opportunity to go up with that team and had some neat things happen. And I started to realize, man, there's really something to this. There's something different, something unique about these experiences that people have up here when you get them away from everything. So in 2009, I was the assistant athletic director at a school in Indiana, out in Indianapolis. And so we took a father-son group up, and when we went up, it was just incredible to watch. You know, some of these guys were businessmen, super busy, always high-stress kind of people, and it was really neat to watch them change while they were there. And so, again, I really started thinking there's something to this, and over the years, we started doing a trip every other year, then it became a couple trips in a year, and now this year we're up. Janelle's going to leave in a van next weekend, but we're going to be up from June 3rd until the middle of August. The ministry itself is really changing. A year ago, we formally created Upward Adventures, even though we've been doing these trips for a long time. And the purpose or the mission of Upward Adventures really is to minister to underprivileged kids from Lancaster County. And to help them realize that they matter. To give them an experience, get them away from everything that they're, you know, the hopelessness that they're normally encountering. To get them into an environment where we can let God wrap his arms around them and just let them experience him for themselves. And so I'll tell you a little bit more about that ministry or about, you know, how that all comes together later on. But this morning I want to show you some videos, some pictures, give you some real insight as to what happens when we're up there. Because we don't can it. I was meeting with some people a couple weeks ago, and they asked me if we have devotions every day and stuff like that. And I said no. You know, if we go and we tell God what we want to experience, it's going to ruin what he really wants us to experience. And so oftentimes, you know, we pray with them at meals. We have little discussions, but the longer you're there and as that trust starts to develop, they start asking questions and things just start happening. And so usually about midway through the trip, maybe a little bit after, is when we usually have like a Hurts and Hopes campfire. And that's really, around the campfire is really where a lot of things just start to come out. And so from that time, from that point on in our trips, the relationships really start to build. And you have a lot of late night discussions with individuals. We do men's groups and youth as well. And so, but I wanted to just give you a glimpse into some of the things that we do. I'll share a lot of kind of funny stories or little things that happen while we're there. And I want Janelle to share too, kind of what her experience and vision for it is, why she's involved in Upward Adventures. And so, but I wanted to show you this. Now, I'll start this by saying this was last year's first trip up. So they came up on June 26th. We were in town for like a day, and then we went across the bay. And so with each of the groups, we go like whitewater rafting, sea kayaking, hiking, ATVing, all that kind of stuff. But normally, the remote trip would be later on in the trip. When we got to Alaska last year, we were going to raft early on, and we couldn't. The river was too high. So we flip-flopped the whole schedule. We ended up going remote right away. So these guys were just in Alaska for maybe a day and a half or 2 days. And this is what they got to see. Now, we just got dropped off on this beach. Our kayaks are laying down further on the beach. We didn't even set up camp yet.
Yeah, it's nice. It's just the camp is right here.
Yeah.
I love it.
And we had just seen a whale. Boom.
30 seconds. Unless he's diving the boat.
Right.
Oh, yes!
Woo! Yes! Yeah. Awesome.
Now, I've seen that a lot of times, but I still get excited. You can hear it. But for them, they were like, all of a sudden, their eyes were like this. Because they're like, wow. You know, it's their second day there. They had already seen a bunch of moose the first day there. They saw eagles, all that stuff. Now we get dropped off on a beach, and this whale comes all the way out of the water. And I'm already praying, God, please, we're getting all this right up front. Don't let it go flat, you know. Now we got a lot to live up to. But what we do while we're there is we take what God does and we talk about that. We, you know, one of the most enjoyable parts for me, and something we fail to do a lot of times in life, is acknowledge the things that God's doing. You know, he's doing things all the time and things happen, but because we're in such a rapid pace, we don't acknowledge the things that are happening. And so there it's great because we get the opportunity to sit down and talk about how things are happening and how that can't be a coincidence, you know. So I'm going to put up a bunch of pictures here and we're going to scroll through. Yeah. And some will go through fast, some will go through slow. The ones of me when they come up, because I'm a good-looking dude, we'll look at those for a while. But yeah, the arrows there at the bottom. Now, and you can, this, when we first get there, whether it's a men's group, kids group, some of the kids, a lot of times the kids groups, they don't know each other. And so you got to do things to kind of break the ice. You know, and so we like to do, right now they're just passing a stick around. We call it, this is my boat. And on my boat, some of the coaches in here have probably done it before maybe. But, and it's a little game to get to know somebody's name. They just don't realize it. And usually, what's often funny is the most intelligent person in the group is the last one to figure it out. So in this case, the guy standing there holding the water bottle, he's a dentist in Louisville, Kentucky. And by far the most educated person in our group. And he was probably 20 minutes after everybody figuring it out. So I'm not going to tell you what it is, just in case I ever get the opportunity to serve you up there. So this is just a couple of our staff members. A lot of what we do, we travel around the peninsula. So we're mobile. We have a home base, but we do move around. So we set up camp. It's rustic when we're gone. We cook over open fire, and then we also have stoves and things like that. So it's, go ahead. See, there's that good looking guy. This is a good friend of mine, Doug Curry. He's actually been up three times with us now. and he's a real strong supporter of what we're doing. Go ahead. This is in Homer, Alaska. This is a boat harbor there. Now, Homer is the end of the road south of Anchorage. This is actually where we have our home base set up, and just outside of Homer. From Homer, it's like the launching point for a lot of outdoor activities and things like that. So that's where, when we take groups up, we take a boat from Homer and go across the bay, do a couple days over there, whether fishing, kayaking, hiking. So, go ahead. Go ahead. These are just some of the, now there, if anybody likes king salmon, the bad part was this guy didn't realize, well actually I think he did realize because I made it pretty clear, you're not allowed to take it out of the water. But he wanted so bad to get a picture with a king salmon. And so he caught it about 200 yards down from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game biologist's tent. And he pulled it out of the water to get a picture. I also didn't have the heart to tell him, that thing's almost dead. Like, it has spawned. You can see how thin she is through here. And all the eggs are gone. So pulling it in, it took him like 30 minutes. It normally would have taken probably an hour and a half. So, but nonetheless, it was pretty cool. He thought it was pretty neat. This is Dan Item. Dan is our ATV guide. He's a true Alaskan dude. He didn't grow up in Alaska, but you'd never know that. And in 2015, I called Dan when we were on our way into town. We had not met up yet during that trip, and I had the group. We were coming down from Anchorage. We camped at Anchor River, and we were supposed to go ATVing with Dan that afternoon or that morning. So I called Dan because one of our staff members, James Hayward, had been staying with Dan for about a month, and a bear kept coming every other night and kind of harassing James, who was sleeping in a treehouse outside of Dan's house. So I jokingly called Dan on the way in that morning, and I said, hey, Dan, do you want me to bring anything in this morning? We're driving through town. He's like, no. I said, do you need any seasoning for the bear? I was joking with him. He said, yeah, he's hanging up in my garage. I'm like, really? He said, yeah, 4 o'clock this morning, he came out after Junior. That's what he calls James. And he said, I shot him with my .22 Magnum. He went 100 feet and dropped. So evidently, I don't know guns real well, but to, I guess taking down a bear with a .22 Magnum is pretty cool. And so by the time we got there, they had already skinned it. It was hanging in the garage. So we went ATVing, and when we came back, go ahead. When we came back then, he cut the back strap off of it. And we went down by his pond and set up a fire and set up a grate and cooked it. And so we had bear and we had some moose steaks and bread and potato salad and egg salad. So actually, backstrap from a bear is really good. Most people don't want to eat bear, but the backstrap's really good. It's a little tougher than what we're used to. But hey, you're in the woods. Who cares? This is when we're remote. We get dropped off. Sometimes we hike like 4.5 miles to where we're going to camp. They don't realize that we could have gotten dropped off by a boat right where they're going to camp. But part of the neat adventure is hiking there. You go through a lot of different kinds of terrain. And you go through forests, and then you go through a glacial moraine where there's nothing but small shrubs and brush. Then you go back into a forest, and eventually you cross a stream that's full of salmon. And we set up camp there by the stream. So go ahead. This is the river that we actually have to cross during that hike. Go ahead. I think there's a couple more. Right here, what they're doing is there's a tram, a cart that goes across a cable. It's 250 feet long. And so you got to put two people in their gear at a time, and we pull them across. And I noticed this last year or 2 years that I've been gaining weight. Because as the cart goes across, now it runs into the side of the platform, and it used to go up on top of it. Maybe the cable just stretched. I'm not sure. That's it. So, go ahead. This is when you get to Humpy Creek. Humpy Creek is half the width of this room. And when the salmon are really running, you can just about walk across them in there. They bunch up, and they're just skin to skin, side by side through there. It's pretty cool to see. But that there, he's really proud of that. That's a chum salmon. That's like the Alaskans just throw them back. But we ate it. So, just a sunset by Humpy Creek. Humpy Creek's a very peaceful place, and we like to take groups there. It's really a neat place to kind of stick your feet in the water, watch the salmon fight up through the ripples. There's always eagles there in the trees by you. You have the bay to your right with the harbor seals eating the salmon at the right, and on the left is lush green forest with snow-capped mountains behind it. It's kind of surreal, so go ahead. This is on the Kenai Lake. We camp next to that. This is the tram at Alyeska. When we come, every group that we take up, their last day, we always take them up to the top of Alyeska Ski Resort and eat lunch up there. There's a little cafe up there, and the tram goes up, I think it's 3,000 feet or something like that, or 2,500 feet. There's a trail you could walk up. That's stupid. But this is the way to go. And so we go up there, and it's really neat. Two years ago, I think it was, or maybe one of the trips last year, right as we were getting ready to leave, my daughter's deathly afraid of heights. Like, she shakes every time we go up. I'm like, you've done this before, you know? But the power went out. And in Alaska, that's pretty common. Electricity gone out. They have earthquakes 40 times a day, that kind of stuff. So the electricity went out, and both the trams, there's one going up, one going down, were stuck halfway out in the middle. And Leah's like, I'm not going down. I said, Leah, they're going to have to climb out. You know, they're going to have to drop down on a rope or something. And she was petrified. So we had her really scared before we left. But it's really neat up there. You can see 7 different glaciers from where we eat up there. So go ahead. And just some fireweed. The flowers are really, really beautiful. Now, you think New Jersey and Maryland beaches are nice, but man, there's nothing like swimming in Alaska. Invigorating. I think there it was actually probably low 50s. It wasn't too bad.
It was hot.
It was hot outside, like the temperature, but the water temperature wasn't bad. So that's 2 of our staff guys showing their physique. So go ahead. This is just some of the men that we took up last year. We had a couple different men's groups that we took up. And you can see how rustic it is. There's tents on platforms. We put cots in there. So it is actually kind of comfy. But go ahead. This is on top of Grace Ridge. We did a hike last year for the first time that we had never done before. And we start down at the water where you saw the whale jump. And we hike 3.2 miles and 3,500 feet up. And so... and it was 60 degrees or so at the bottom, and when we got to the top, it was like 43 degrees, blowing almost 40 mile an hour winds, and it was brutal. And so, but it was kind of a neat experience. So everybody wanted to get their pictures taken up there. When they went back down, I only did it once. I think the group did it 3 times last year. She did it twice because she wasn't there with the first group. I did it once because my knees didn't want to do it again. So going back down was brutal. There's one of our guests last year. He went halibut fishing, which was awesome because then he brought some back for us, and we ate it at camp that night. This is just at the bottom of one of the glaciers up there where it runs into the lake. I think that's Exit Glacier. So.
That's not where you swim.
No, but we do swim. They do swim in a kettle pond by a glacier, and they usually jump off, hit the water. Janelle did a couple years ago.
I did.
You come, you pop up, you swim, about 10 seconds later you go, because you can't breathe before that. So, yeah. Janelle was, she could have won the Olympics that year, swimming out of there. So. Go ahead. Now, later on today during the sermon, you're going to hear me talk about a neat experience that we had last year, and I want you to visualize this. This is called Grassy Island, because you're going to hear me mention that later. That island is about a mile from where we were camped on Kayak Beach, and it doesn't have a beach around it. It's just kind of straight up ledges and cliffs around it, and it's just grass. There's no trees or anything on it. So you'll hear me share about that later. With each group, we try to take them to Exit Glacier, and then there's a trail along Exit Glacier that you can take them up to. It's called the Harding Ice Field. And on the Harding Ice Field, if you get up to the top, you can look across and see it's probably 80 miles across, and you just see the peaks of mountains sticking out of the snow and the ice. And it's really neat. Every year they have an adventure or a race that goes the whole way across that. I would never venture out to do that. But if the weather's right, we tell the people bring their rain pants up and they go butt sledding up there, because you run and just jump and just go forever. So then you have to hike back up. So I don't do it. Go ahead. When we go rafting, you see the turquoise water? That's because this is glacial silt. This is a runoff river from some of the glaciers. This is called Six Mile Creek. And it looks pretty mild there, so that's where they do their swim test. Everybody has to do a swim test before they go on Six Mile Creek, because it's class, the first two canyons are class 3 and 4, and then the last canyon is class 5.
We were hitting class, last year when last, we went, it was class 5.
Class 5, like everywhere, because last year they had, was that when the water was high or low?
It was
high.
Yeah.
Because we've done both, when it's high and when it's real low. And they won't let people on the river once it's over 11 foot. I think you did a 10.9 last year. And after 11 foot, they know someone's going to die, so they stop. So she was only 0.1 away from death. So, but yeah, they make you swim across, then they roll over, they're yelling instructions at you. But our guides are really good. We almost always have somebody ejected from a boat. It's usually Sarah, one of our staff members, on an annual basis. And but the guides, usually you hit the water and they shove you underwater and make you buoyant and they just throw you back like a fish in the boat. So Sarah didn't have that luxury 2 years ago. She got beat up a little bit, but go ahead. Two cousins at the top of Grace Ridge. There's a neat picture. This is a sunset actually at Nanilchik, I think. And Nanilchik is a Russian fishing village. There's actually 3 Russian villages around where we do all of our stuff. And they're active villages. And so from up on this bluff where there's this old Russian Orthodox church, you can look down over the village. And what happens a lot of times at these places, the fishermen will bring their boats in and they'll anchor out. And when the tide goes out, the boat will run, it'll be aground, it'll kind of lay over on its side. And then the wives will come out with their ATVs and pick up the husbands and take them in to the village. And so usually... you usually see this either when there's an opening, a fish opening, because they only have 12 hours or something like that to fish in a certain spot, and then the Department of Fish and Game will change the area and move them somewhere else. So, but you see it like that, and you see when they're all done and they're coming in. So,
and this was when we were going down the peninsula that day. That was when the fire,
they had the haze fire. From the yeah. Forest fires. See, in Alaska, we tell people you can see forest fires, volcanoes, earthquakes, floods. It could rain the whole time. It shouldn't snow. If it does, we're in trouble. But yeah, and so normally you can see across and see a couple of glaciers across the bay from here, or not glaciers, volcanoes. But because of the forest fires, it was really hazy. You couldn't see. This is another meal around the fire. When we're with Dan, we always get, I'm not sure if the ones there at the bottom, I think those might be moose. And then I think the burgers were
moose
and beef or pork mixed together. And then sometimes he'll bring a whole ham from a bear. So.
Nick, you stick that in your pocket.
Go ahead. It's just by Exit Glacier. We can speed through a couple of them here. There's an eagle out on the rock over by Kayak Beach. And we call it Eagle Rock. I don't think that's the official name for it. That's just what we call it. So, now, if you don't believe in UFOs, you should, because there's one in that cloud there. I'll guarantee it. So, no, when we were driving back one time last year, and it got better form than that. And it was like everybody was stopping taking pictures because it truly looked like a UFO. So my father-in-law is convinced there is one in there. So this is from the base camp. That's the view that people see from there. Now this year we're moving to a different base camp, which is still going to have a nice view, just a lot less mud to get there. Go ahead. There you can see the bear ham up there. I'm not sure if that's a shoulder or the buttocks, but it all tastes the same. So, and he douses everything in bacon grease, so everything tastes like bacon grease. So.
That's a special seasoning.
That's a special, yeah. Some people rafting down one of the streams. Go ahead. Now we had at the base camp last year, we had moose near the camp every day for like the first 2 or 2.5 weeks. There was a cow and 2 calves, and then there was a bull moose up behind us. But the later you get into the summer, they start to move off into the hills a little further. So you still see them, but they're in different places. So go ahead. There's a picture just of the kayaks looking back at Kayak Beach when we're remote. It's a beautiful place. There's from up top of that tram looking down. And what you can't tell is this little thing right here is a 6-story or more huge resort. It's beautiful. So it's down a good ways. They hang glide off there. This, if you look off, you don't have to look off in the distance. It's the same distance to the screen. But you can see in the back, that's one of the volcanoes. That's Iliamna. From where we are, you can see 3 active volcanoes and sometimes 4. But Augustine, Iliamna, and Redow. And there's been several eruptions. The last one, I think, was 2014. And there was one in 2011, 2009. And I'm not sure before that. So I kind of always hope for one, because then that means we get to stay longer, because they'll shut the airports down. So that's just my son, Ethan. Had to get him in there. You know her. That's the best she looks when she's up there. So don't let her fool you. Last year, 3 weeks without a shower? No, I'm just kidding. So, when I was in the Coast Guard back in 1990 to 93, I helped at a youth camp up there. And each summer we would go back, a couple of us Coast Guardsmen would get permissive orders to go and serve at this camp. And this is 8 miles from the road. We would ATV back. And she was actually the owner of that property back then in 1990. She's still there. But I hardly recognized it because it was tall, thick forest when I worked there. And back in the early 2000s, there was a spruce bark beetle that came through, and it killed all the spruce trees. And so, over time, they've all fallen, and everything. I get disoriented up there because I don't recognize, you know, where the trail used to come in and that kind of stuff. It's just a little odd, but it actually makes for better views now there because you can see everything. So, but she still goes up there. Now, I told you Dan's a little off the wall. So he always gets a picture with the girls holding the gun, and he's going to kiss them. I don't know. He doesn't do that with the guys. It's weird.
That's good.
The Moose's Loose Bakery. The Moose's Loose Bakery is a bakery in Soldotna. We go by there on the way down to Homer. And they make the best apple fritters, at least. Well, I don't eat apple fritters, so they're pretty good. But we always, Dan had an agreement with the owner that if he... they would give him something for... Oh, they would give him a hat or a shirt if he could get a picture of a moose holding their t-shirt. And so he took a cabbage, put it on a hanger, put the t-shirt on the hanger right under the cabbage, and it took him one day to get a picture of the moose holding the t-shirt, and that picture is on the wall in their bakery. So now he wears their shirt. But we usually have to stop and pick up 2 dozen apple fritters to take them to Dan on the way down. So, and if they're not open, they leave them outside between 2 sheds for us. So, go ahead. There's these little coffee shops everywhere. This is just sea kayaking over there off of Kayak Beach. It's, you know, there's a tide swing. The tide can drop 20 to 25 feet there. And so if you're in a current that's going out, you want to be going with it so that when it turns, you don't have to fight it coming back. You know, so usually we'll try and time it. We'll paddle up a bay as the current's coming in and getting ready to turn so they're coming back out. Last summer, one time Sarah and I were in a kayak and there was another kayak. We had to go out and rescue some guys that didn't need rescue. They were just fishing and we didn't know it. And so, but for 40 minutes, we came back with the current and never paddled. And it was awesome. So I would have lost more weight. That's Sarah. So there's an Alaskan meal for you. It's salmon and good old Kraft macaroni and cheese and some butter bread. But we do eat a lot of, I shouldn't say a lot, but we eat salmon there, halibut. Go ahead. Go ahead. I want to get, there's a bear ham. This is at Turn Lake. There's a whole bunch of these small lakes around. So they're all surrounded by 3,000 and 4,000 foot mountains. Really pretty. In the early part of the summer, you have fireweed, which is pink. And then as the summer goes on, you get lupine, which is purple. So usually when the lupine comes out, which is more around August, you know that you're getting close to fall. It's going to start turning brown then. The fireweed is the first thing that pops up after a forest fire. I think Janelle took that picture and then doctored the colors or something, so a little bit.
Looks nicer.
There's a good looking guy. There's some more of the halibut. Yeah, let's go. There's. Now, we got to see whale several times last year. In fact, when we were camping over at Kayak Beach, we saw them just about every day, a couple times a day oftentimes. Usually you don't see this. You hear kind of a, and you see a spout, and you just see them roll out of the water and come down. And then usually if the tail comes up a little bit, they'll disappear. If the tail comes way up, then they're going straight down, they're gonna come back up. So when it goes way up, that's when everybody grabs their cameras. We're like, they're coming. So this one actually, you can't see it in this picture, but he had a rider. And so he had something, I don't know if it was an otter or something, but when he came up out, the otter flipped off and landed in the water then, whatever it was, whether it was an otter or a seal or what. They grow to be 52 foot long. From out in the water, they don't look like that until you're next to them on a kayak. So, go ahead. Those are all foil packs with salmon in. So 2 years ago, we caught them by hand. There were so many salmon. So it's coming down from Grace Ridge. We'll go ahead and kind of. Now, don't be fooled. That's in the zoo. So the Merv Smucker, when he was up with Ryan Glick, the only thing they hadn't seen in the wild was a bear. They saw everything else they wanted to see. So they stopped at a reserve quick on the way back and took, or a preserve. Go ahead. Down by the airport, when you arrive in Anchorage, you come right over the water and the air coming out of Turnagain Arm, so it's always very rough. The last 20 minutes, you're just bouncing around and everything, and you're watching the runway come, but it's well out there and you're over the water. And so, Erica, does that make you nervous? Erica, it's smooth. I'm just joking, everything's great. So,
how do you ever get people to
commit? It's part of the adventure. So, no, almost nobody throws up or anything like that. So, no, but you come in and then you land by the airport, and it's neat because there's like wildlife right around the airport. And they're not attached to chains or anything like that. It's not just a, you know, so we usually take people for drives around the airport at the beginning of a trip or at the end of a trip. And we've seen bear and moose there pretty frequently. And you can stand right under, if the wind's blowing the right direction, the planes come in and it's like they come right over top of you. It's pretty cool. So except the ones that crash in the water. Those, they don't make it there. This girl in the last picture was with my daughter, and when we were hiking up to the Harding Ice Field, they kind of got separated from the group. She had a hard time going up. But to give you an idea, the kind of kids that we like to serve, and they're usually intermingled and kind of hidden within the group. But But she came to us, a suggestion of some other people, and she really needed the trip. And she had been through, her parents had been divorced, and about a year after that or so, she was raped in her development by a friend of their family. And so she was really hurting. And on April last year, she had tried to commit suicide. And so she came up with us, and it was really, man, it was awesome to watch the breakthroughs. The first couple of days, she was really quiet. But as we went on at the Hurts and Hopes campfire, it was amazing to just hear her release some things that she had been carrying and let that go and build the relationships. And she just got accepted to Lancaster Bible College now for this next semester. So this is beside the Kenai Lake. Almost all of our staff members, which Judah is not one of, they all have hammocks. They like to hang out in the trees up there. And so, yeah, beautiful spot for it. Go ahead. Yeah, just go by those.
Is that Eagle Rock?
That was Eagle Rock, yeah. This is up on top. Remember that grassy island I told you about? That's that right there. And this is about halfway up to Grace Ridge. We passed each other because Ethan was with the first group. We always send a fast group and then my group. And so Leah was with me in the slow group. And so the other group was on their way down and we were on our way up. So I got a picture. Those are two. They're both my children. And they never hug each other or anything like that. So that was kind of cool. The bad part was that Ethan was telling us how rough it was ahead. And so I still went. It was literally like the top of it is just rock. And you could reach out and touch the rocks in front of you as you were climbing the last just like 100 yards. But once you got up there, you could see two different bays and all the rivers feeding them and the snow-capped mountains off in the distance and stuff. Really neat. I told you it got cold up top. It got really cold. So that's the lane going into the land up there. There's some mountain sheep. Last year, Janelle and Sarah and I think, were coming back down from Anchorage. And we stopped. There were probably, these are only two of them, but I'm not sure. We probably saw like six or eight of them spread out there right next to the road. So if you catch them the right time of day, they come almost right down to the road. Now, if you open your tent door, and this is what you see, that's the eyeball of the moose. That's his mouth. It's stuffed in the airport. That didn't happen. So that would be scary, though. I just snuck that one in. That's my wife and I with our oldest son. He just finished his last year of baseball with Lancaster Bible College. He's the only one of my kids that have never been to Alaska in the summer. So he's been there in the winter time. So, go ahead. This is one of the hanging glaciers. There's, when we go through Turnagain Arm and the Portage Valley, these are all over the place. Beautiful hanging glaciers. And like when you guys come up, they'll be just a beautiful blue because the snow will be all melted on them. It'll be really nice. Janelle, why don't you, I've got a whole bunch of pictures, but I'd like Janelle to be able to share a little bit with you all.
Your family's going, right, Janelle?
Yes, my family's going this summer. I was going to say, I'm not sure if they're still going.
We have flight insurance, so yeah. Emergency may come up.
John and Rose, if you haven't met them.
Yeah, those are my parents over there. So, Chris asked me, I guess, first time I went up was what, 2014? And he just kind of, he mentioned going to Alaska, and I just kind of being the, you know, adventurous person I am, I guess, signed on for it. And I had no idea what I was signing up for, honestly. I remember the first trip. The first trip I went along as a leader with some high school students. It was actually most of the staff that you see, like Sarah, Hunter, James, Emma Workman, some other girls that I've coached, and I don't know, it was at that, during that experience, and like for Chris, even that was kind of the start of Upward Adventures, he shared his heart kind of for working with kids and bringing them up here and just the experience that you do have up there. And after that, I was pretty much hooked. I mean, the stuff you experience up there and even just the way we work our trips, I think is really unique in that it's not, we don't plan it out, which sometimes kind of makes me a little nervous. But it always, like, it's amazing to see, like, how faithful God is to, like, to tailor each trip to what people need and, like, the people that come up and, like, what they need to experience, what they need to see, what they need to get off their chest, what they need to process. Alaska just kind of has this way of, you're just in this land, this territory, this place where, like, everything's so big and you're so small, but yet you're so seen, I guess. That's kind of what really strikes me about it. And even with what we're going to be doing in the years to come with taking kids up that don't quite have these types of experiences, don't have these moments where they feel seen. A lot of times they might not feel seen at all. Where our Upward Adventures is going to focus more on mentoring kids from low-income home, single-family homes, kids that kind of are on the fringes. And the emphasis with Upward is like you're wanted, you're loved, you're important, and that's always been the heart of it. And I think that's kind of what got me started, just being able to be up there. And like my role when I'm up there is basically to just kind of facilitate, keep things running, cook, drive, whatever. And that's what I love. I love to do anything behind the scenes and help, you know, let other people experience things. And it's nothing like even just walking through those types of experiences with people who've never been there before. Like when they like first see, you know, the glaciers, when they first see moose, when they first see the salmon run. Those are experiences that are very, you know, they're once in a lifetime type things. And to see that and to see what it like stirs in people. A lot of times like people come up and just, you know, renewed passion, renewed dreams, just it has a way of just drawing things out of people. And that's always what I love to see. I mean, even that's why I coach, even, is because I love to see, take people out of their environments, take people out of their daily jobs, their schools, their daily life, and put them in a place where they're a little out of their element, and see what happens and see what comes out. And I know for me, like, being up there, it's done a lot. It's always a good trip whenever I go up there. I feel like every year it's kind of, I learn something different and about myself, about what I want to do, what God wants for me. And even just the conversations I've had with people up there I can think of all these conversations, one-on-one conversations I had with people that just, they mark me, you know, and they, people are able to invest. I remember one conversation I had with one of the guys, he was a cop. He had been a cop up in Kenny's.
Schenectady, New York.
Up in New York, and he, I think for like, 30 years or something like that. And we just had a conversation about kids, and he had heard that I was a criminal justice major, and so we just kind of got to talking about like that kind of stuff, and it was profound. Like he really challenged me on some things and gave me a really interesting perspective, which I would never have had that opportunity to have a conversation with a cop who had been on the force for 30 years from New York. And we in Alaska watching the full moon rise over the mountains. Like, I mean, you can't can it. And that's what I've always appreciated about our trips is we're not afraid to kind of take some risks. And like for us staff, we're even put in situations where we have no idea what's going to happen. And it's like, okay, you know, it's
Alaska. So send your kids with us.
Yeah, you know, this year the goal is to get prepared. So don't worry, next year we'll be good. But yeah, so.
We're the guinea pigs?
No, we'll have it. We'll have it good by then.
We've been doing this a long time and barely ever lost anyone.
Yeah.
What happens when there's an earthquake when you're on the tram?
On the tram?
You get a longer tram ride.
You just get a little shake on the tram, yeah.
Yeah.
A little shake.
Actually, last week on the peninsula, they had a 5.2 and a 6.1. So either it's a precursor to the big one or it's over. Yeah. So. Yeah, it's probably over.
Yeah,
real quick, I know we need to wrap up, but I just wanted to read this to you. so you understand really where we're going, because I'm going to share with you during the sermon a little bit about the changes, but the mission for Upward Adventures exists to bring hope and the love of Christ to a hurting generation by partnering with local youth ministries in South Central Pennsylvania to provide quality wilderness adventures, after-school programming, preparation for post-secondary education or trade school, leadership development, and mentoring for underprivileged youth in grades 7 through 12. And so, you're going to hear a little bit more in the sermon about what that looks like. Not necessarily that I'm going to talk a whole lot about Upward Adventures, but what it is to invest in people and to help them believe in something. And that what we're trying to do in Upward Adventures is to take kids who don't have hope, who don't have anything to believe in. They look at their brothers or their sisters or their parents, if they even know who their parents were, and they don't have hope. And so what we're trying to do is to get to where they realize first that they matter. That they matter. That God has a plan for them, and God has given each of them gifts. And once they realize that, we can help to cultivate those gifts and develop that in them. And so our goal is that by the time they graduate from high school, that they're equipped, that they, one, believe that they matter. They have somebody walk through helping them figure out what they might be used for, what God might have planned for them. And then to prepare them so that they can go off into the workplace. But more than that is to have that hope and vision for a brighter future. Because if they have that, then they might share that with their brothers, their sisters, their parents, or their children someday, and their co-workers. And they can start to change that culture of hopelessness. It won't happen overnight, and we won't be able to reach every kid that we come in contact with. But our goal is, once they come in as a seventh grader, that they're going to stay until they graduate from high school. And so that's what Upward Adventures is about. And I so appreciate Janelle coming on. She's on the board for Upward Adventures, offers a lot of wisdom, deals with a lot of my... I'm ADD, and I can talk in 100 circles in 10 minutes. And so she kind of sorts that all out and figures out, okay, what did he really mean? So, yep. But so thank you for taking the time.
We can take a minute for a question or two.
Absolutely.
What do you think besides the Alaska thing that you talk about?
Throughout the year, what happens is by partnering with these other youth ministries and connecting with these kids, we can't be all things to the kids. And so at first, when we started to have a vision for serving them and investing them on a regular basis, investing in them, we started thinking, well, we should provide after-school programming and do all this. We're fortunate in an area where there's a lot of good youth ministries that are doing that work. And so what we're coming and doing is we're adding a program asset for them. That's not a financial burden to them. We raise the money that it takes to run our stuff. And so we'll connect with those youth ministries throughout the month. And then once a month, we'll take the kids that are in Upward Adventures on another outdoor excursion. And so, depending on the age groups, there'll be age-appropriate type things. So they might be one day canoeing, kayaking, mountain biking,
locally,
stuff like that, but locally. So, you know, we'll do an overnight canoe trip down on the Potomac and mountain bike up on the rail trail. Next year, we're hoping to take the first 7th and 8th graders that come into the program. Now, because each year, what we've done over time is we had these kids for 1 year, and then that was it. And I'll talk about that in the sermon a little bit, but where now, since we invest in them for a long time, so this next March, when we have the first group of 7th and 8th graders that are going to be with us until they graduate, we'll have a banquet for them and their parent, because they'll all be single-parent, low-income household kids. And so we'll start to prepare them for their trip to Alaska by doing some smaller trips with them. Next Memorial Day, we'll take them up to Ponderosa, Pine Creek area, and do an overnight with them and their parent. So their parent has an idea of what they're going to experience. So that when they come home, it's not an overwhelming debriefing, in a sense. So
let me warn you, you know, Roger has a heart for this kind of ministry.
Yeah, this program is pretty much, I wouldn't call it a spinoff, it's almost a duplication of a program that I ran in the school district of Lancaster. But we have middle school. And we bring a lot of kids away for long student periods of time. So we only have 3 days to do what you guys have done over a longer period of time.
Yeah.
But 3 days, we took 30, 35 kids. pretty much what you said, got no hope, getting in trouble in school, getting in trouble outside of school. The only requirement we couldn't oversee was if they went to jail, if they were in the juvenile system, we couldn't take them on the retreat.
Right.
But, so our hope was to catch them before they got into the juvenile system, because then we can't work with them.
Right.
But we had about 30, 35 kids every year for about 15 years. We took them away. What you guys have done over a period of time, we have to have that bonding process completed by the second day.
Yeah.
And so that fell on me. So I became the head now, the head leader for the bonding process. I don't have a lot of time. I have a lot to tell you about it. But it's
well, that's why Steve was supposed to get us together a long time ago.
I want to warn you, we had a men's canoe trip on the Yaukagane in western PA, and Roger was my canoe mate. You don't want to get in the same canoe as Roger. Our canoe capsized several times. Finally, a kayak.
So you had him in the front. I see.
Yeah, finally, a kayak rescued us before we went over the falls.
But you know, that bonding process was probably the most difficult thing. We did the same thing. We did a bond campfire.
Yep.
Kids. For people who hear, they know what I'm talking about. We had the kids up at Indian Town Gap. We had camps for Tahoe, all those places, one people. And so we do that night, the second day night, pretty much around the campfire. The story, they told us the story as part of the program when it was first developed was, we were to tell the kids a hard luck story and then get the kids to open up. When I threw that away, I said, if you want kids to open up, you need to be honest with the kids. So reading them something out of a book and trying to get them to open up doesn't quite work.
No.
So pretty much I gave them my life story. Now I wrote a book, so that's another thing. But I gave them my life story. We'll talk about what it is to be the brother of a sister who was brutally raped and what impact that had on me, what impact that had on my family, what impact that had overall. And I needed them to feel my pain. I needed them to see my hurt. Not so much as cry, because I've cried more tears. I don't have any more tears to cry. So now I'm into the sharing. So, but when they saw that, I can tell you, almost there was not a dry eye in the place. The purpose was not to get the kids to cry, but to see, let them see the pain so that it opened the door for them to share their pain, because they saw me willing to share my pain.
And that's when we do the Hurts and Hope campfires, all the staff members share their hurts and hopes as well.
So
there was stuff like you just said, I thought it was abusive, but there's stuff that kids said that you can never hear them tell you in school. It was just not possible that kids would walk up to you and tell you the story.
Yeah.
But they told us stuff there at the retreat of us, it's overwhelming. We had to take, after the second year of doing it, we had to take a psychologist with us. The purpose of taking a psychologist with us was because we as teachers had to struggle to get the kids back. See, you open that door, that's a very big emotional thing.
Yep.
And then you can't just tell the kids, well, you got over it. That doesn't quite work. So we had to take our school psychologist with us to help us in the training process. Bring those kids back.
Right.
Like I said, once you open that door, you're talking middle school. That's a huge responsibility.
Yep. Thank you, Roger. And we're going to hear from Chris upstairs and Janelle and commission them for the summer program. Janelle, how long are you going to be up there?
About 2 months or more.
2 months, wow. So could you give us a transition prayer? I won't say closing prayer.
Yeah.
Prayer.
Okay. Father God, I just thank you for this time we had to look at Upward Adventures and what you're going to be doing through the ministry, God, and through people that come in contact with it, whether staff, student, whatever. God, I just pray that as Upward continues to grow, that it would continue to focus on you and your heart, God. And I just thank you for the time that we can just see and experience your beautiful, your creation. Even through these pictures and what you've done in with your creation. In your name we pray.
Amen. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.